friends, welcome to the Connected Mom Podcast. So I've been thinking a lot about the hardest part of motherhood lately, and I really think it has to do with letting go and just trusting God with our kids, right? And here at the Connected Mom Podcast, we really want to have conversations that are real and that are going to help you really to dive in deeper in your connection with God, to go deeper in your connection with being empathic with your fellow moms, and also helping you to connect more deeply with your child, more intentionally with your child. And so I'm Becky Harling, your host, and today I have a dear friend with me as my amazing guest, and we're going to have a conversation about what it looks like to launch your kids, to let go of them, to release them, and to really trust God in that process. And so my guest today is Jennifer Slattery, and Jennifer is a lot of things. She is the founder of Holy Loved Ministries. She's an incredible leader. She's done all kinds of leadership initiatives in her area of Omaha, Nebraska. She's a podcaster. She runs the Faith Over Fear podcast, as well as Daily Bible Verse podcast. She's an amazing speaker. She's spoken across the country and in her part of the United States. And she's a multi-published author. But beyond that, she's a friend of mine. And she has raised a daughter and really has overcome challenges in her own personal life that we kind of all have to overcome dealing with our own past in order to raise our kids. But today, Jennifer and I are going to talk about really the art of letting go well. And it's such a big topic. Anyway, welcome, Jennifer.
I'm really excited to be here. And it's, yeah, this is an important topic.
Yeah,
for sure.
It really is. You know, I was thinking about it this morning as I was getting ready to come on with you. And I thought, you know, the letting go process really happens with the birthing process, right? I mean, a woman's body, you carry that precious child within you for 9 months. And, you know, like, when they're in your womb, they're safe from a lot of different things. And then you have to give birth and let go. And all of a sudden it dawns on you, you know what? Nobody hands me a parenting manual when I give birth. This child is mine. Or even the birthing process of adoption requires letting go from the beginning and trusting God in that process. And so it's really a continual journey of motherhood, isn't it, Jen?
Right. And I think it's helpful to you. You mentioned when you first have a child, having that frame of mind of where I am raising this child to point to Jesus, right? Like ultimately this child belongs to Jesus. And when my daughter, when I was pregnant with her, I was on bed rest. And then I had a time where I thought I was losing her. I had so much blood loss. I went to the emergency room in the middle of the night, and all I could pray was like, God, no, God, no, God, no. Like that, I couldn't pray past that. And then I, like I said, I was on bed rest and I was afraid every time I got up to take a shower or something that I was hurting my child. And I just remember praying to him, Lord, if you bring this child to term, I will give her back to you. And it's interesting, that prayer, it was like God reminded me of that prayer for the rest of her life. And still occasionally, you said you would give this child back to me. And that was helpful, I think, to begin with that framework.
Yeah, I think we all desire that. But when the crisis hits, I know for Steve and I, you know, we were missionaries in Africa for 2 years in the country of Sudan. We went on vacation to Kenya, and our daughter, who was our firstborn at the time, was 18 months, spiked a crazy high fever, went into convulsions. Wow. And we had to put her in a hospital, which is the last place I wanted to put her. And I just remember getting down on my knees by her crib that night saying, Lord, I give her to you. I recognize that you love her more than I do. Now, to be clear, I didn't do that with a happy, jolly attitude, right? I mean, right. I did that with a whole lot of tears, you know? But as I look through scripture, this is the pattern that we're called to, isn't it? I mean, we think of Abraham for sure. And I believe that every parent, I mean, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, Jen. I think every parent is at one time or another called to the Isaac altar where we say, Lord, this child is not mine. They're yours. And I trust you with them.
Right. And I actually think that is for our good and their good as well, right? Like God will see when we have an idol, which for mamas, we can make our kids our idol. That can be, I've always said, I've often told myself and been alert in myself, if there is any time I'm more apt to disobey God, it's going to be in relation to my daughter. And so,
talk to us about
that's like a
that.
Warning to me, right? Right, right. And, but then what is that? Looking at Abraham's journey in particular, I was thinking about the messages he was sending as he was climbing up the mountain with his son about to sacrifice Isaac, you know, thinking in his brain, I'm going to sacrifice Isaac. But then scripture says, if we read in Hebrews, that he was so convinced that basically God was going to care for his child, that he would even raise him from the dead. If necessary. And I wonder, by this point, so he'd been walking with God for a long time by this point, so I think he'd learned a lot of hard lessons. But I wonder how much he held on to, as he's walking up that mountain, held on to the promise way, way, way before Isaac was even born, where God said that he would basically create nations from his seed, so from his own kid. And I wonder if he held tight to that promise as he was walking up the mountain. I feel like sometimes, and you mentioned crying, releasing your child. He's human, right? So he had to be battling within himself. But I wonder if he battled the fear that was maybe tempting him to disobey, if he battled that with the truth and the promise that God said, I'm going to bring nations from you.
Yeah, I love that. And I think there is a place for us as moms to have some key promises that we hang on to through this journey of motherhood. You know, I've had some conversations, you know, with some moms recently who have said, wow, I didn't realize how hard this was going to be. You know, I mean, we all thought we were going to be great moms, right? Before we actually had kids. And we all thought we knew what we were.
Well, I didn't. I'm sorry, Becky. I was really terrified that I would be a terrible mom. But
well, you were more humble than some, you know, but everybody thought, okay, this is going to be fairly easy. And then all of a sudden you have that baby and there's this momentary, maybe lifetime of panic where it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, you know, and that is to call us back to our knees. And this constant theme of release, 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 and trust, because we can't release our kids to God unless we trust them. You know, I was thinking about Jochebed, Moses's mom. I mean, that was a horrible time in history because all the babies were going to be killed. So how do you find the faith to take your child and put them in a basket in a river? I mean, it probably just sounds so ridiculous to us today. What are your thoughts on that, Jen?
I actually have a lot of respect for Moses's mom. And I recognize, if you envision her the time before this, where she is keeping the baby Moses alive because she believed he had a special purpose and just saving life too. But she's in doing that, she was endangering potentially her other children. And so I think there would have been some, and then as she's carrying Moses to the Nile River, here's what's fascinating about this, I think, Becky, the very place that evil intended for death became the route of life for Moses, right? Like she had to place him in the river where all the babies were supposed to be thrown to die. And then he was rescued by the Pharaoh's daughter from the very family intending evil. And it's such a beautiful story, if you read the entire story, to see there's a promise from another biblical character where it basically says God what you intended for harm, God intended for good, the saving of many lives. And we see that in Moses' story, which I think is a reminder to us. Sometimes the things that make me most fearful as a mom are when my daughter is in a situation where it feels like she can be harmed by evil. So whether it's something going on in our world or whether just whatever it is, but recognizing that God is sovereign over all the forces throughout all the universe helps me. And then there was one verse I held tight to as a mom, Ephesians 2:10, for you are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do the good works, which he planned long ago. And I would use that as my anchor as a mom. And I would try to, I didn't by any means do this perfectly. I had plenty of freak out moments that I now regret, but reflecting on God has good plans for her. He is moving her towards those plans and equipping her for those plans. And he already knew today's struggle, her struggle today, and whatever she would encounter today when he created those plans for her. Yeah. And therefore, he would account for them.
Yeah. And I love the idea of, because I mean, I think a common fear for all of us as mothers, even for those of us as grandmothers, is the evil in the world, right? And the influence that is going to be on our children. And then I think of, you know, the verse that you mentioned, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, you know, which is Joseph's story, of course. But then we see that play out in the life of Jesus. And, you know, one of the people that I can't wait to sit down with in heaven someday is Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, talk about continually releasing your child to the Lord. I mean, from the very moment they bring Jesus to the temple, and, you know, I think it's Zacharias that says to her, hey, a sword is going to pierce your side too. And she watches, you know, she believes that her son is the Messiah, but she watches what happens. And she's at the foot of the cross when it appears that evil is winning.
Right.
And you wonder, like, I think what I go back to is God gives us the grace in the moment to release that he doesn't necessarily give us before. I mean, and she had the grace to stand there at the foot of the cross, believing the promise that he would live again.
I also like how I feel like God is really faithful to prepare us in advance. We may not always recognize that preparation, but you mentioned how Mary, she heard prophetically, a sword is going to pierce your spirit. And then, but scripture also says she pondered that in her heart. And I'm wondering how deeply and how often and what kind of inner wrestling did she experience moving towards that place of surrender. And I think that's important to acknowledge here. When, for me, what has been super helpful, when I feel the anxiety rising up, and normally my desire to rescue my mom, my daughter calls my mom a bear. I think we all have one pretty strong.
Absolutely. And we do.
Yeah. Wanting to intervene and do whatever we can to quote unquote, keep our children safe and protected. And it's helpful to me if I can hit pause and begin to wrestle with myself and say, what is it exactly I'm afraid of? And then what is that fear proclaiming about God, about his promises? So for example, I would not do well. I can honestly admit if I was Mary watching Jesus suffer I can't even imagine. But let's just say I were to do well in that moment, or let's say I wasn't. And so what am I wrestling with? I would be wrestling with, is God's plan really good?
Mm-hmm.
Even when it doesn't feel good now, I would be wrestling with, is eternity really worth it? Right? Like the scripture says he endured for the joy set before him, which tells me the joy is amazing, right? If it's worth it. But do I really believe that? Do I really believe that God loves Mike? And so when I can start to wrestle with those things, it invites God in to address them on a deeper level. So I'm not just, one thing I messed up with a lot when Ashley was young is I thought I was handling my anxiety. I thought I was keeping it from everyone when I was anxious, and we can't. It comes out in other ways, but then I just wasn't communicating about it. And so she interpreted it in her own way, and which was faulty. And so, but when I invite God to search me and know me, as David said, and see whatever in me is not life-giving, then I can get to that place of trust more easily.
Yeah, that's interesting. So can you give us a story from Ash's life where you had to do that? Because I think, like, we've talked about the theology of this. I mean, it is all through scripture, release your kids to me. And it sounds great until we have to do it, right? And then it's really a lot harder than we think. So tell us a story, Jen.
One of the most challenging is when my daughter and son-in-law, they'd been married 2 years, maybe, and they opened their home to a teenage foster kid. And they knew she had challenges. They had no idea the extent. And so it turns out she was an addict and alcoholic, and she had borderline personality disorder and other things. But those were the most challenging. And things became so intense. They were constantly dealing with the police coming over. She was getting in fights at school and getting expelled. They were having to deal with the court systems and with therapists. And the mental health professionals, they're trying to get her help. And an inpatient, there's a local inpatient treatment center. They took her initially, but then they're like, we can't handle her. I mean, it was really intense. And she was self-harming. She was vandalizing their home. She would become violent. And it became so intense that they began, my daughter and son-in-law, they put all of their sharp objects in their home in a safe in the basement. So try, like, even to cook dinner, they'd have to go down, get a knife, bring it back up, wash it. And they began sleeping with their bedroom door locked because they did not feel safe. And during that season, I would love to say I encouraged them to yield to God's will, to honor him, to serve sacrificially, to love this teenager and follow God however he led. And I didn't. Much of my focus was on how can I fix this? How can I get them out of this situation? How can I reduce their pain? And I will say, I mean, I was afraid for their marriage because they were so young in their marriage. I was afraid for their jobs because they weren't sleeping and they were having to take time off work all the time to go to courts and all these things. And I seriously, seriously worried about their mental health because we had mental health professionals saying that they didn't know how to handle this girl. And so you have these two young newlyweds. But in all of those things, so one thing that was really helpful in that season, and I'm talking to my husband and I'm like, okay, now, first of all, my son-in-law is an amazing man and they both follow Jesus and they're both awesome. So this, I know now this never would have happened, but when you're in the crisis, you don't know what's going to happen. Right. And your mama brain spirals. And
yeah.
And I'm like, okay, if they get divorced, it'll be hard. My daughter would grieve and be in a lot of pain. But she would be okay. We'd walk her through it. It would be okay. You know, like walking through in my brain, if they lose their job, okay, they might lose their home, but she could get another job. And she, you know, like, so trying to talk through, sometimes I think we see the crises and it becomes so, so big in our mind. But when we pull back, and I do think, Becky, we recognize our kids don't always follow Jesus, right? Like we see other people's stories.
Right.
And so there's a big unknown there. And I think sometimes that can be a trip up. But if we recognize even our supposed worst case scenarios are usually not insurmountable, then I think that helps us dial down our fear.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think asking yourself, okay, if the worst happens, you know, if my child gets hurt physically or if my child walks away from the Lord, whatever your what if is, right? God will not stop being God. God will not stop loving your child. God will not stop pursuing your child. And I think that those are important reassurances for our souls as mothers, you know, because we can't control every choice that our kids make, right? You might have, if they had asked you, you might have said, you know, I don't think it's a good idea for this young woman to move into your house. But, you know, as adults, our kids aren't going to ask us those kind of things a lot of the time. And we have to take our fears and worries to God rather than trying to control their situation. And that is just really challenging sometimes.
Right. Well, and I think we also have to recognize the messages we're sending, right? And so are we telling our kids to obey us more than God? Are we in our fear and in our trying to push in a certain way, are we telling them that they can't hear God or that they hear him incorrectly or that what they think they hear, because my daughter and son-in-law believe strongly that God had led them to that, right? So me interjecting my fear, I'm teaching them not to have faith. And honestly, that is more dangerous to turn their ears off of the Holy Spirit by my influence. That's more dangerous than anything they can encounter.
Yeah, it truly is. And, you know, I want to speak to those of you that are moms out there that have kids that are young adults, because I think this is particularly relevant to you. You know, I have had kids that have, well, I'm calling them kids, maybe they're in their 20s, and they're coming to me and they're crying because they feel called maybe to the mission field. And mom and dad are pulling back on that because of fear. They don't want to lose their child. They don't want their child to not have a successful career. They don't want their child to suffer poverty or, you know, but the call to follow Jesus is a journey of faith. And like you said, Jen, when we pull back on our kids, we are sending them the message, well, we don't trust God enough to take care of you. And I do think this is a serious issue. You know, we want our kids safe, happy, close to us. And sometimes that's not the plan, and that's really hard. I mean, it just really is. And the call to keep offering our kids to Jesus is really hard. You know, it's not lost on me that we're recording this podcast, and it's going to air, you know, in April, the end of April, and we're on the cusp of graduation season. So we have a lot of kids that are graduating either from high school and getting ready to go off to college, or graduating college and ready to go into adulthood. And those are two seasons in a kid's life where it seems like as moms, we have a hard time. So what helped you in those seasons, Jen?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple things to speak on that. I think I want to be careful, and I wanted to be careful in those seasons not to encourage a fear of failure. So like when my daughter was, she went to be an engineer, and that's a difficult journey. And it was very difficult for her. And trying to remind myself how I express my fears will either tell her failure is fatal or failure is a growth step, right? And so that was one thing. And then the other thing I think is super important that I'm trying to do, and especially when she got married, I had to do this as well. Give myself space to grieve the old season, and not always in front of her, right? Like, right. I mean, I don't want my grief. right, because they need to see us celebrating their launching, but giving myself space to grieve the old seasons and what I loved about them, but then also anticipating what God had for me in the next season, because I got to tell you, and your kids are older, but I have yet to not find a most beautiful, like every new season, I'm like, oh, this is lovely. This is beautiful. This is the best, because I love my adult daughter and I loved my college age daughter. But also speaking to that, looking at the times when I didn't do it well, when I allowed my fear and my anxiety to push, like to become over controlling or to speak fear into her soul, it damaged our relationship, and we had to later repair that. And I talked to her after we talked things through, which I would encourage that to every mama listening, especially when they're 18, 19, 20. From what I've heard from other moms, every kid at that age comes and tells you what you did that hurt them.
Yeah. Or and it might, and beyond it, that, even in their 20s, sometimes in their 30s, you just never know, you know, as they're trying to figure out maybe how they're going to parent.
Right, right. Or just trying to heal and process who they are. And so she and I were, and I would say, if you listen to that, dial back your fear that they're not rejecting you. If they were rejecting you, they wouldn't tell you, right, what they were hurting from. And listen and be present in that. But then also in my, in the times, especially like when she was in college and not understanding, it took me a while to figure out the new parenting. Because it seems like every time they shift, you have to refigure out, how do I parent in this season? What does it look like? And she said to me later, Mom, when you, so I'm going to say advice after they turn 19 is just turn it off unless yeah. they
have. Hand over your mouth.
Right, right, right. Because she told me every time she heard me give advice, she took it as she was failing. And she already felt like she was failing as being an adult and trying to figure it out. And once I heard that, I'm like, oh, sweetie, that wasn't, I'm sorry. Like, I was just speaking my fears and anxieties. You're actually doing amazing. But when our kids, when they reach adulthood, or at least my daughter, when she reached that age, I would say two things, because you asked, Becky, how did I deal with that? Keep that communication open. I think that is such a lifeline to really focus on, so that you can hear their hearts and their concerns and their perceptions as they're trying to grow. And hearing her say that, it encouraged me to do the hard work in myself. Like, why am I not launching her in this season? What do I need to deal with in me to better launch her and release her to Jesus?
Yeah, that's so good, Jen. And I think, you know, even after they are married, similarly, you know, when they start raising kids, your kids always raise their kids different than they were raised, right? In some ways, they may do some things like you did, but they'll do a lot that's not. And, you know, I find that if I give my kids advice, they take a step back. You know, they don't want my advice. They may want an offer for me to babysit, and I'm happy to give that. You know what I mean? But sometimes as moms, we have to really listen with the intention of understanding their heart and not with the intention of fixing. You know, we just, as moms, we love to fix things for our kids because, again, we don't want them to hurt. So it comes from a really good place, but it ends up putting a strain on the relationship when we give advice, you know. And I haven't always done that right. And I'm sure you haven't always done that right. You know, there have been, I can't tell you how many times I go back to my kids and apologize, even at this age, you know, and say, oh, I'm sorry. I gave you advice there. I didn't mean to. I was brainstorming out loud. And, you know, you are capable of, you're a great mom, or you're a great wife, or you're a great whatever, you know, husband. So I do think we have to be careful of that, you know. And I find that even interesting with Mary and Jesus, right? Because Mary shows up at the wedding, and you know, there's a change in their relationship. Jesus is now an adult, and Mary is like, yeah, son, can you fix this? Because she knows he has miraculous powers. And, you know, you can almost feel Jesus sigh, like, woman, my time hasn't come yet, you know? And then, you know, she kind of steps past him and says, do whatever he tells you to do, you know, which is good, because she doesn't say, oh, for sure he's going to pull off a miracle here. But, you know, there's that little dynamic between Jesus and his mother where Jesus is like, I'm now an adult. I mean, I'm sure, You know, there have been times where, and then there are times where she comes to him and Jesus says, you all are my mother and brothers now. We're all family. And I've often wondered, did that hurt Mary's feelings?
Well, I think you bring up a good point, because I don't know if you experienced this, but when my daughter was 18, 19, 20, well, to her mid-20s, which she is in now, but they naturally pull away from their parents. They naturally begin to build their own community, and it can feel a bit like rejection because they don't want to spend, if they're healthy and launching well, they don't, I mean, they do want to spend time with you, but it changes, right? It changes from that 11-year-old who always wants to go to the store and always wants to snuggle. And a couple of things that helped in that season was, one, to deal with when I felt rejected, that's on me, right? That's a health, like what's going on with me. That meant I was relying too much on my daughter for my needs. And I needed to go to God with that so that I could release her without binding up my emotions. And then two, what helped is recognize, I started reading a lot about that developmental phase. And I'm like, oh, this is normal. This is healthy. This is important. And she even said to me one time, I don't remember, I do have to admit, but we love this. We do go to coffee every other Saturday. So we do connect. But if she had chosen not to, it still would have been just a sign of her maturing. And she said to me one time, she said, Mom, why do you think I don't like being with you? And I said, well, you're not really supposed to. that's a little bit of exaggeration, but you know what I mean. But like, you're supposed to want to be with your friends. You're supposed to want to spend time with your husband. And I think that's one more thing I want to say to that. Mamas, your kids need to love their spouse most.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And that was a shift when my daughter got married, where I had visited her at her apartment and I drove home and I cried. That was like, I grieved. And I'm like, okay, she's not going to come to me. I mean, she still does, but he's going to be her first. He's going to be her lifeline. He's going to be her best friend, her prayer partner.
Yes.
And that's good and that's important. And so I grieved that, and I privately, and I embraced that for her. The beauty on the other side, we actually just took my son-in-law, my husband and I took him out to dinner, just him. And it's beautiful. Like, we have a great relationship with him. He's a beautiful kid. They have a great marriage. And so the new journey, there's still joy. And my daughter still does come to me, but the joy of seeing her have a strong marriage and a strong faith community.
That's huge.
Yes. Yes. So that's probably the last thing I would say about the importance of releasing them to the developmental phase and the world that they begin to create for themselves. Well, that God creates for them.
Yeah, I love that. And so our time is up, but this has been such a great conversation, because I love how you brought out that there is grieving in the process. Like, it's okay. So for those of you moms who are going to cry, I mean, gosh, I cried whenever I sent the next child off to college. I mean, you know, I grieved well. And, you know, there is a grieving process. However, trusting the Lord with our kids does bring great joy. And if you practice that muscle of, Lord, they're yours. Lord, they're yours. And you keep reminding yourself of that, there is great joy on the other side. So, Jen, thanks for being with us today. This has been an incredible conversation. And I just think it's going to be really encouraging to those moms who are getting ready, you know, with high school graduation around the corner, sending their kids off to college, or those whose kids are going or graduating from college and maybe moving across the country or getting ready to get married, or wherever you are in the mother journey, there will be an opportunity to open your hands. So, hey, would you close us out in prayer before we wrap up here?
Sure, sure, sure. And this is encouragement for me too, reminder for me, because I'm still struggling. But yeah, Holy Father, we love you so much. We're so grateful you created our kids. You know everything about them. You planned their days before a single one came to be. You are all powerful, all knowing, all loving. faithful and attentive, and you walk beside them every moment. We thank you that you know them better than we do. You love them better than we do. And you definitely have more power and wisdom than we do. And we thank you that you take full responsibility to lead and to guide them. When we are afraid, we just pray that you would first reveal the root of our fear, the lies that are fueling our fears. Guide us to your truth. Guide us to you. Help us to, when we wrestle, to wrestle with you. When we're afraid, to turn to you. When we're grieving, to grieve with you. And to hold tight to your promises in Scripture and to the evidence of your faithfulness in our lives and in our kids' lives. Thank you that you've given us, you've entrusted us to raise these children to be your kids, ultimately your servants, your ambassadors. That's a holy, holy calling, a beautiful honor, and a challenge that we embrace because we want to be faithful. You who gave your son to set us free, help us to give our most treasured possessions as well, knowing that you always lead the whole world. You're leading the whole world to freedom, and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Hey, friends, thanks for joining us today. We've really enjoyed having you here with us. And join us again next Thursday where we'll have another real conversation. We're not into fake conversations. So another real conversation that will help you to connect more deeply with God, more empathically with your fellow moms, and more intentionally with your child. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on The Connected Mom. Hey, all you moms out there, this is Becky Harling, and I love creating resources to help you connect more empathically with your child. One of those resources is a book that I wrote called How to Listen So Your Kids Will Talk. One of the greatest skills you can cultivate, really enhance that connection with your child, is the skill of listening. So how well do you really listen? This book is loaded with practical ideas to get your kids talking and to help you as you listen. You can buy it wherever Christian books are sold. You can order it on Amazon or anywhere else. So I hope you'll get a copy of the book and put the work into listening to your child.